Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace in our lives that moves us from day to day, where we see your love and your hand upon the lives of others, and Lord, upon ours too. Lord, we ask that as we continue worshiping you, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. You've heard people say things about doors or a door. Make sure you close the when you leave. Remember, don't slam the, close the, you weren't born in a barn. Knock on the door before you enter. Or you might hear this from people, I have an open policy. Or maybe a teacher or professor will say, my will be open between 2 and 4 o'clock. A quote I came across by Flora Whitmore says this, the doors we open and close each day decide the lives we live. Read that with me. The doors we open and close each day decide the lives we live. Biblically, a door might be a good door or a bad door. You decide maybe if it should remain closed or if it should be flung wide open. In Genesis, God says, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Open or closed? You want to keep that closed. The psalmist says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Open or closed? It could go either way because we've got a guard there. Jesus says in Matthew, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to one who knocks the door will be open. Open or close? Open. Jesus also says to the teachers, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Do we want the door open or closed? Open. Open to the kingdom of heaven. The apostle Paul said, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Open or closed? Open. Yeah, it said open in there, right? God the Father in heaven says in Revelation, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person and they with me. Open or closed? Open. Doors. They have a sense of either don't open it, guard against opening it, or a sense of come on in to enter into more of what God wants for you. You see, the doors we open each day decide the lives we live. Let me ask you, how did you learn how to pray? Who taught you to pray? Where might that have been where you learned? Why do you pray? For some of us, we learn because of our parents, who maybe at night, oftentimes mom, but not always, came into our room at bedtime. Maybe they closed the door, maybe it was wide open, and they prayed either with us or for us. For some of us, we learned to pray more. We learned more as we came into the doors of the church and attended something like Sunday school, where a teacher prayed for us. Or maybe you got away from the whole church scene like I did, and maybe you talked with God once in a while, but not frequently. And more often than not, prayer happened when you needed or wanted something from God, not so much to spend time with God or to hear from God. That was my experience. And maybe like me, when you got back into church, into the church scene, you realized something important was missing in your life. You would open your eyes during prayer time and look around. Of course, you might see kids looking around and a parent trying to keep them from wiggling and saying, shh, the pastor is praying. And then there was that other occasional adult doing the same thing you were doing, and you quickly looked down again because you were caught. But when you were first taught to pray, I bet beyond a shadow of a doubt that most of us were taught to do three things. Three things. Fold our hands, bow our heads, close our eyes. As if this was some sort of signal that I'm now in prayer. Or maybe it was a formula to get us to pray. Why is it that we fold our hands, bow our heads, and close our eyes? Why? It isn't something that Jesus taught. It isn't somewhere else in Scripture that we're commanded to do or even recommended to do. So I'm thinking that it could be for one of really two reasons that we do this. It could be a sign of reverence or awe to an unseen God, a sovereign God who is our King. We're giving God honor when we fold our hands, bow our head, and close our eyes. It could be a sign of reverence, or it could be less a sign of worship or reverence, but more of a practical way to shut out the world around us. The distractions, the disruptions which invade us and cause us to not be able to focus or draw near to God. It's as if we are shutting the door to the world around us. Jesus had another word for this. You see, when Jesus gave his 100-level class lesson on prayer, he used these words. Read them with me. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing on the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. We talked about hypocrites last week. You remember those who play actors, stage actors, who pray so they can appear to be holy. And God says that they have received their reward in full already, which is nothing from God, but only the praise of others. Jesus continues the lesson on prayer and says this, read it with me. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The Greek word for room here denotes an inner room or an inner chamber that one can go to. An inner room or an inner chamber that one can go to. This is how that idea of having a prayer closet came to be. An inner room or chamber like the display on the altar behind me. This is the very opposite of what a hypocrite wants, who prays to be seen by others, as opposed to an inner room where one goes to be by themselves. You see, going to an inner room shuts us off from the world around us that we may pray to our Father who is unseen in heaven. Not to worry about the language we use or how eloquent our words are strung together and being concerned with what others might think or hear. It's just you and God. One-on-one, alone together, with no distractions. You see, this verse implies strongly that we need to have a time, a dedicated time to spend with God on a regular basis. It also tells us that we need a place to go to, a place where we can shut the door to the world around us. You see, the doors we open each day decide the lives we live. The door Jesus wants us to open each day is the door to our inner room where we can go to be with our Father who is unseen in heaven. Where we can still our bodies, our minds, and our souls to be with the one who created us. It takes the focus off of us and places our focus on God. The psalmist says it this way, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love for me. And you have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. You see, it's hard to have an undivided heart when we have no undivided time or place in which to be with God, isn't it? Jesus modeled this very idea to his disciples then and to us today, giving us a time and a place to God, having us make a time and a place for God in an inner room. And what was that model? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, Jesus may not have had a physical door or place, but he would very early in the morning go to a solitary place. Luke says in his gospel that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Often withdrew. Every day. The doors we open each day will decide the lives that we live. I think this becomes imperative that if we truly want to become like Christ, which should be our top goal as Christians, then we need to follow his example, don't you? When you look at this verse, what stands out to you? For me, it was three specific things. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark. Number two, he went to a solitary place, his inner room, where he was then able to pray. By doing this, Jesus was able to shut the door to the outside world, the place where there was heavy demands on his time. You see, there were the disciples with, and then there were those who needed to hear him preach about the kingdom of God so they could enter into what the kingdom of God truly was. And then there were those who needed healing, whether it was physical or emotional or even demonic. And talking about demonic, I believe the evil wants us to get so busy in our lives that we will not have time to go off and find at any point in the day a solitary place. A place where we can focus on God, be with God, commune with God. We can become so busy for God that we will spend no time with God. We can be so busy for God that we will not spend any time with God. Quite the opposite of what Jesus demonstrated for us. You see, yes, God wants us to serve each other here at the church, like in two Saturdays to help clean up. Yes, God wants us to love people who are outside the church so that maybe they will come into a right relationship with God. Yes, God wants to use our talents, our gifts that he's given to us for the betterment of the kingdom. Yes, God wants to give, wants us to give back some of our riches to him for his work through the church. Yes, God wants us to witness to others of God's love. And the best way to do that is to become like Christ. But most of all, God wants us to spend time with him. To be with him. Friends, we can get so caught up in the doing that we forget being with God in a solitary place. You see, the doors we open each day decide the lives we live. I remember when I had connected with God in my early 20s. I wanted to be with God. I learned how to go off to a solitary place to be with God for a time. For me, it was getting up early in the morning, opening my Bible to read, and not just read, but to listen to God while I read what God was trying to speak into my life. Words would shimmer or jump off the page at me. And it was there that I felt God was speaking to me. I would spend some time underlining those words and then journaling what God had spoken to my heart, and then some time in prayer. It might take me 30 minutes or so, but friends, it was a wonderful time, a rich time with God each morning. Then I got married. We started having kids. I had to get up a little earlier, and I would simply go out to the couch, wrap an afghan around me to read, to mark, to pray, to write. For years, this was my pattern. And as I learned about how to use the Lord's Prayer as a model for prayer, or the Acts Prayer as a model, I would often spend the 40 minutes that I rode a bus to downtown Detroit to work as my time of prayer. But I too fell into the trap of being so busy for God that I wasn't spending time with God. I had lost sight of me and God and was focused on me and the church as I began to do the work of pastoring. The doors we open each day decide the lives that we will live. Now, I tend to be a person who talks to God throughout the day. But there were seasons as I became a pastor where I would find a time of solitary place with God, but it was not like those first 15 years with God. Over the last year, culminating with the movie War Room, I decided to reinvigorate a set time for God each day. And to help me, I created a space where I could close the door to the outside world so that God and I could be alone. I read a number of articles which were the impetus for the War Room display here on the altar. I don't have a door to my little place. Just a chair, a small cabinet that's flat where I have a light and have my Bible and my journal. I generally only read my Bible and then journal in a composition book, about half a page, what it is that God had spoken to me about. We have this conversation. And then another half a page on what God and I are talking about in other areas. Then I just simply pray. Fold my hands. I still fold my hands. Bow my head. Close my eyes. Some mornings it's been for my family. And for other mornings, the United Methodist General Conference is coming up in May. Been praying for that. And some mornings it's been for you. I've been getting up a little earlier each morning to spend some unhurried time with God. And for me, it meant that I needed to get to bed a little bit earlier too. You see, the doors I open each day decide how I will live my life. Samuel and Susanna were married on November 11th, 1688. Samuel was 26, Susanna was 19, and they had 19 children together. Only 10 of them made it through infancy. Sharon Glasgow writes about Susanna. She writes these words. When Susanna was young, she promised the Lord that for every hour she spent in entertainment, she would give to him in prayer and in the word. Taking care of the house and raising so many kids made this commitment nearly impossible to fulfill. I can't even begin to imagine that. She had no time for entertainment or long hours in prayer. She worked the gardens, milked the cow, schooled the children, and managed the entire household by herself. So she decided to instead give the Lord 2 hours a day in prayer. She struggled to find a secret place to get away with him. So she advised her children that when they saw her apron over her head, that meant that she was in prayer and could not be bothered. She was devoted to her walk with Christ, praying for her children and knowledge in the Word, no matter how hard life was, and she had a hard life. Friends, despite her busy life, Susanna was a woman of prayer, and her two most well-known sons were John and Charles Wesley. John, having brought about Methodism, Charles, being a prolific writer of hymns, nearly 9,000 hymns, many which are still sung around the world today. Let me ask you, where can you find a solitary place in your life to pray? What corner of the house, what chair, what Bible, what lamp, what writing utensil will you use when you spend that precious time with God? Maybe it's not 2 hours or even an hour. Maybe it's 30 minutes or 15 minutes. But where is that solitary place for you to pray? Ask God to give you a vision of that place. What that time will look like. Experiment with different places in your house. One person has a chair in a living room. They have a little basket that holds what they need to write and write on. Another cleaned out, these are actual examples that I read about. Another cleaned out her front hall closet. I can't believe it was more than 3x3. Space at best, and used a couple of couch pillows for her seating. If you already have a place and time, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you don't, then at some point this morning, write down what it is that God is telling you or showing you could be that place in your house. Be that place where you can go to a solitary place to be alone with your Savior, to be alone with God, where you can pray. It won't happen on its own. I can promise you that. You see, the doors we decide to open each day decide the lives we will live. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do desire that you would show us that place in our lives, in our houses, in our homes, where we can meet with you together. A solitary place, a quiet place, where there is no distraction. Lord, give us a vision of that place, that we might draw near to you. That the door we open each day will decide a more holy life that we will live. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.